Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What does it mean to have hope? There's a frivolous way that we use that word. I hope it works, by which we usually mean it's 50-50 at best. But that focuses on the likelihood alone. And that reduces one of the theological virtues, faith, hope, and charity, to the realm of Las Vegas. I hope this wheel gives me red. I hope I win the Powerball. It's a prayer to the goddess Fortune, a prayer that pays no attention to the quality of the thing desired or how it is achieved. The original Star Wars, the one that started it all, today comes with the subtitle, A New Hope. We might be tempted to think that this is an example of a frivolous use of the word. But hope, the theological virtue, is the artistic core of that entire franchise. Thomas Aquinas defined hope as some desired good that is possible, but very difficult to achieve. The desired good in Star Wars is the fall of the Empire. The fact that Darth Vader is the second most powerful entity in the universe tells you something about its difficulty. But empires fall all the time. Most of us saw one in our lifetimes, nicknamed the Evil Empire, vaporize overnight. The most successful of those modern Star Wars films was Rogue One, probably the only one from which you might remember a line. Rebellions are built on hope. The entire story of that movie being what one might be willing to do if one had hope. Aquinas also defines two ways of missing the mark of hope: underestimating the odds or the cost is the sin of presumption. In that Star Wars universe, that might be the problem with the prequels. Everyone except Yoda. Everyone just presumes that the Jedi, the good and great of the Empire, will have no problem with Anakin. Such presumption might have been part of the church's sin over the past generation or so. Repeatedly, she presumed that being the church would be easy, that the world, instead of being a constant temptation, was always a potential ally or friend, that she could do away with practices and doctrines and everything would still come up roses. But the opposite way of spoiling the virtue of hope is no longer believing in the possibility of good. That's the sin of despair. And that might be why everyone hated those Star Wars sequels. Mr. New Hope himself, Luke, was turned into a walking case of despair. And it was a despair that anything would ever be different. It didn't matter if you beat the Empire, because it just was replaced with the First Order. And even if there was something new, it was just meaningless. Time is a flat circle, always spitting out variations on exactly the same thing. Okay, I'll let the Star Wars go. sorry if you aren't a movie buff. But in its core resonance, it matches up with how the Bible wants to talk about hope. What was Israel in all of the history of the judges and the kings? At its best, it was a second-rate power, usually third. In its early history, they failed to conquer the Canaanites as God had told them, and so they were constantly having internal troubles. The Philistines ran roughshod over them. The height of Israel is under Solomon, who managed to flip the scales a little bit on Syria and Philistia and be the direct partner of the great powers, Egypt and Assyria, Babylon. But that was short-lived. And the kingdom split, and Israel was back to being something like North and South Korea, as those Koreas are to China and the U.S. And when the big boys wanted to have at each other, they met up in Israel as their war playground. Into that situation comes the prophecy of Isaiah. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and all the nations shall flow to it. What is the hope? That the people of God would no longer be trampled under the will of the nations of the world. That the power dynamic that had always existed would be flip-flopped. That the empire would fall. That Satan would no longer be this world's tyrant. What is the hope? That when the empire falls, it will not just be replaced with a new one. Meet the new boss, same as the old boss, but maybe worse. But in the latter days, he may teach us his ways, and we might walk in his paths. Out of Zion shall go the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. This thing that we've held on to through all of the ups and downs, this thing that Abraham received by faith and Moses brought down on stone and David was promised would be eternal, this would become the basis of the new thing. The kingdoms of this world would become the kingdoms of our God. What is the hope? That this God is just and good. He shall judge between nations and decide disputes for many peoples. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation. Neither shall they learn war anymore. Is this hope good? Undoubtedly. Is it difficult to achieve? Absolutely. Is it possible? Is it possible? Not in this world. As Jesus would say, my kingdom is not of this world. But that would tell us that our hope, that Israel's hope is in vain. It's part of those frivolous things that we started with. It would be. Except for one thing. He rose. Yes, the King of Kings came. He rode into Jerusalem to the cries of Hosanna. And by the end of the week, they were calling to crucify him. The one who came in the name of the Lord would be met by clubs and swords and led outside the city. And if that's where it had ended, it wouldn't be despair to say that Israel's hope wasn't possible, because that would have been the proof. But Jesus rose. The one we killed, the Father raised. There is a new world. And the King is the firstborn of that new world. And he has triumphed over all of the petty kingdoms of this world. And he's triumphed over this world's tyrant. And they all know their time is short. Today, the kingdom is one of rebellion. Rebellions are built on hope. And our hope is that in that promise of the resurrection, the new heavens and the new earth. Our hope is in the day when the kingdoms of this world are no longer threats, because they have become the kingdom of our Lord. Our hope is in that great ingathering of all nations to the mountain of the Lord. That mountain being Calvary. That ingathering is taught in peace. In this world, we'll still have troubles. In this world, we live by hope because we're rebels. The devil would like us to believe that it's all easy, to spoil our hope in presumption. Which is why the Apostle Paul reminds us that we should cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. If you're going to be rebels, you've got to know you're in a war. We don't presume, but we do prepare. For our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. You don't presume. But neither do we despair. The one who loves has fulfilled the law. And Christ has loved us. He loved sinners. He loved us enough to save us. We don't despair that the world will beat us, because he's risen. We don't despair that we can't keep the law, because he kept it for us. And so we are called to follow. We have hope. The question is, what are we willing to do because of the hope? The rebellion is one of love. To love the unlovable, just as we have been loved. We can see just enough of the fulfillment of Israel's hope to maintain it and its possibility. The nations have been called, and they are taught the law that went out from Zion. The way for Christ is the way of peace. It's a strange rebellion that seeks not force against force, but instead plants seeds and tends gardens, plows and pruning hooks. Against all the weapons of the world, all of this was accomplished in that first advent. The basis of hope was renewed and enlarged. Israel's hope is not just the fall of Egypt and Babylon, but the fall of Satan's empire. Israel's hope is not some small throne, but the eternal one, one of justice and peace. And Israel's hope is our hope. That one day we will walk in the light of the Lord. Today, in between the Advents we prepare, we walk by faith and not by sight. We live by hope because the hour has come for us to wake. We have seen our salvation. It has been presented before us. And we know that Christ will come. Not like the first time in weakness, but in glory. So we risk love. Because this is the will of the King, who first loved us and called us into his light. What does it mean to have hope? To live in his kingdom now, his kingdom of love, knowing that the day is not long. Amen.